Microsoft has dramatically reduced the barrier for integrating advanced analytics into your application across all three of those areas. So by providing highly engineered, highly tested, highly performant and scalable models, it no longer requires the same kind of the same kind of machine learning expertise that it may have historically in crafting custom machine learning models. And now switch to talking about some pre-built things that you can use right out of the box and integrate them with the solutions that you're building without doing. You don't have to have any data. You don't have to do any kind of model building. These are just pre-built APIs that you can use. So here we're still talking about things in the intelligence and analytics kind of general category, but this is more of the layer between your application and your end user population. So it's not so much about building advanced analytics and prediction into the logic of your application and the data of your application. It's more about changing the way that your users experience your application. My name is Jamie Olson. At Microsoft, I am an analytics solution architect. So what I do on a day-to-day basis is I talk with partners and customers about the solutions that they're trying to solve and identify the ways in which we can leverage all of the different Azure products and combine them in a end-to-end way so that we can manage the entire solution all the way from, so typically we're talking about data applications and analytics applications, so all the way from the ingestion of the raw data, so bringing the raw data into the cloud, all the way through to serving the product, the analytics product, whether that's a visualization or a prediction, out to the end user. So whereas, you know, we started out talking a little bit about some of the core data science and machine learning algorithms that Microsoft has built and how you can leverage Machine Learning Studio and Azure Machine Learning to take some of those algorithms and build models and then deploy those models into production workflows. Now we're talking more about cognitive services that are no longer really talking about the data scientist as being the user. These are going to be used directly by regular developers in crafting the way that users experience your applications. So these are a variety of different services that Microsoft has across a range of different things, spanning everything from, you know, kind of core Microsoft strengths that you would have interacted with for a long time, like search, to some things that you may not have been experiencing directly as much, like vision and speech and language understanding APIs. So some of the things that have been underlying Azure Bing search for a long time, but that are now being exposed to you directly to craft the way that users experience your solutions. So these are all now publicly available and released and ready to go with straightforward, simple APIs and pricing. So now let's take a look at a couple of different demos of the cognitive and perceptual intelligence services. So we're going to see how some of these cognitive services can be leveraged to identify faces and emotions and to leverage language in crafting the way that your users interact with the applications that you build.
I want to stop now. So there are a few different demos that I wanted to do now to give you a better sense of what I mean by changing the way that users interact with your applications. So one thing that you may have seen before was howold.net. This was something that Microsoft
released at a conference last year, where users could take a picture either through a picture that they already had, or through their webcam, or through their phone, and upload it to a website that would predict their age. So if you don't remember what it looks like, it looks something like this. Not sure how it will do with the headset here, but so it's a year off. But this is the kind of intelligence that goes into this can really change the way that users experience your application. Okay, we don't need to do that again. Now, there are a number of different APIs that drive this kind of demo that show some of the ways in which you can change how you're using intelligence in your user experience. So that's a simple scenario but it's actually fairly complicated. So we're identifying from a picture faces, and then from faces making predictions about ages. So we can also do emotions. So this one I'm not as good at. So I can usually get the bottom row, but the top row is a little bit harder for me. And so you can, so this shows an example of an API that is automatically taking pictures and extracting the emotion from the faces that are in those pictures. But for an example of how you might integrate this into an actual end user experience, here's an intelligent kiosk, and it's going to take my picture, identify my age, and based on my age and some other things, it's going to figure out what it should sell me. So this is doing a little bit more than just age. In this case, it's taking into account all the different faces in the image, their ages, their genders, and their emotions. And in this case, it's saying, I need a drill. it's pretty accurate. I bought a house last year, but I already do have a drill. So if they showed me a different, something different, so no, I already have that. And so this is now sentiment. So it's identifying that whatever I said was expressing some kind of negative sentiment about that. No, that's no fun. If it gets enough information here, it will identify other products that might be more appealing to me. And so you can think of ways in which this combination of visual understanding and text and speech understanding can really totally change the way that users experience whatever solution it is that you're providing. So we talked already today about Power BI and how you can integrate some question answering directly into Power BI. But it's these cognitive and perceptual intelligence APIs give you the ability to go a little bit further than that and take things from, the specific focused analytics scenario like in a BI dashboard and translate this into any part of your interaction with customers. So there are other things here. So I can ask what dog I am, in which case it's doing similar kinds of things and doing a comparison between my face and a repository of images of dogs. So there's all kinds of goofy things that you can do with these APIs, but the point is just that this can totally change the way that you think about having customers interact with software. It no longer has to be, mouse and keyboard. It can be gestures, it can be speech, it can be text. So one of the things that Vivek alluded to earlier is the bot framework, which built into the bot framework, which allows you to create dialogues, purpose-built dialogues with customers. Part of the integration with the bot framework is using some of these cognitive and perceptual intelligence APIs to enable your application to understand natural language in a way that's useful for your application, so that you are taking natural language, and just like earlier we were translating and extracting out from natural language the features in the data that Power BI knew about, some of these language understanding and intent features allow you to reduce natural language to the set of intents and actions that your application knows about.
So let's go back here to walk through these all these different kinds of things. So we have face APIs, which have a variety of features, can detect faces, can verify the equivalence between faces, so you can start to recognize identities. So in this case, I have not trained the version that I have on my machine to recognize me personally. But once you have a repository of faces, you can actually do recognize identities using these APIs. You can group faces into groups in different images. And you can also, so that's later. So in addition to the vision APIs, we saw with the intelligent kiosk that we have speech APIs. So in addition to basic things like speech recognition and text to speech, we also have this intent APIs, where we can take spoken language and convert it into specific intents and actions that we can leverage in our application. In addition to that, though, we can also do text analytics more broadly. So this is moving a little bit more towards the machine learning scenarios, but here we can do things like semantic sentiment analysis. So are people speaking positively or negatively about our product? So there are some examples on MSDN of using this Twitter sentiment analysis, or this sentiment analysis on Twitter data. So taking hashtags and extracting for each tweet on a hashtag what the sentiment each tweet is expressing. So there are some very simple but powerful ways that you can leverage sentiment analysis and social media to get a better understanding of what people are saying about your products and what people are saying about specific features of your product. So you can, as you track this over time, you can tell, you know, as the year progresses, if there are certain features that people feel negatively about at certain times of the year, and things like that. So there are a lot of powerful ways where these high-level APIs combined with Power BI and Azure Machine Learning can really change the kind of data that you're getting about how customers are talking about you out in the real world. There's also some other features. If you have large repositories of documents, topic extraction is now a fairly standardized activity in machine learning, topic modeling. And so if you want to be able to identify from one document what other documents might be relevant for someone who's interested in one document, topic modeling is a great way to start doing that. And so each of these different APIs can be useful in different scenarios, but the key thing here is these are all out-of-the-box usable. There's no data science that's necessarily needed. These are all ready-to-use APIs that developers can start building applications with. And in addition to just extracting faces, we saw the emotion APIs at use. I'm only really good at happy and sad, but there's all kinds of other emotions that you can extract with these.
There's also some other specific structured scenarios. So one of the ones that's out there right now is the recommendations API, which allows you to build a recommendations API without necessarily having much, if any, idea how it's actually working. So this is a recommendations API that allows you to make recommendations based on either similar alternatives or complementary additions. So you can think of this as on Amazon, some people also looked at versus the bundled offerings. So there are kind of two different ways to structure recommendations, either around alternatives or additions like bundles. And this can really impact the customer experience as well as personalize the user experience. So to dive a little bit into this, because there are a little bit more data requirements around the recommendations API. So if we have movies, you know, we want to know what to watch. And so if we want to use the recommendations API, there's two different things that are required here in order to build a recommendations. We need a catalog of all the different items in our repository and historical usage. And from that alone, we can make customized recommendations either for a specific user based on their history or for a specific product based on what other products people who use that product also used. So those are the kind of two different ways of making recommendations, and both of them are supported in the recommendations API. So in this case, we have just examples of a single observation of a item in the catalog, and then an interaction between a user and an item in the catalog. And so from that, we can make recommendations for similar games or recommendations for alternative games in this Xbox 360 scenario. So in addition to the core scenario, there's also some advanced functionality that's supported in the recommendations API that still requires no additional data science effort on your behalf. So one of the classic challenges for recommendations is if you either have new users or new items in the catalog and no history associated with those users or those items. And so for new items, what you can do is with the recommendations API, if you have any additional attributes about items, the recommendations API will leverage those additional attributes to make predictions for new items so that even the moment a new item is introduced and it has no historical usage data, we can still make reasonable recommendations including those new items. Whereas typically, if you have a new item, there's no historical usage, so you don't know when to recommend it. And because it's not getting recommended, it falls behind other alternatives. And so here, we just add some additional attributes, in which case we can identify other items that have similar attributes and make recommendations based on that similarity and when we would recommend those other items. So the retraining API, we haven't really talked about this for Azure ML, but for the recommendations API, just like for Azure ML, we can be continuously updating our history of usage so that our recommendations are improving over time, just like they do with Netflix or Amazon or anybody else who's doing state-of-the-art recommendations. So we feed those in a slightly different way. So those actually get fed in whatever schedule you want into the recommendations API service so that you don't have to start from scratch with the new data. It actually gets augmented to the original data just by feeding it in as your application experiences it. So demos. One of the things that I mentioned that we saw a little bit about in the intelligent kiosk scenario, but I wanted to spend just a little bit more time talking about is the sentiment analysis. Okay, so let's... So let's just pick out totally random statement like the one that I typed in there. And you can see the kind of information that you can get from these text analytics APIs. So detection of the language, detection of the sentiment, and key phrases from the statement that you provide. And so sentiment in particular is currently only implemented for English. But both of these other functionalities are available in other languages. So you can go today to the Cognitive Services website. And all of these are released. So if you want to, but you can go ahead and you can subscribe to any of these different APIs. And there are, for each API, there's a limit for how much you can consume for free. But once you get past these limits, all you have to do is go onto the main page on Azure for these services and subscribe to the paid version of these services. But all of these are ready to go. You integrate these APIs just the way that you would with any of the other web APIs we talked about with Azure ML, and just call them and pass the respective data. So each of these APIs also come have some sample code. So in the case of the text analytics, I'll just show you a bit of what that looks like. But you can get it in either of a number of different languages. I think all of them have both C# and Python. Some of them, I think, also have JavaScript. But you can take these code snippets and get started immediately just signing up on the Cognitive Services website. So that's everything that I wanted to talk about with the Cognitive Service. Okay. I think the most important thing to keep in mind after the talks today is how all of these different things fit together. So we're talking not just about individual products. We're not just talking about the Machine Learning Studio. We're not just talking about Azure Data Factory. We're talking about a suite of intelligence or a suite of products around advanced and analytics. And where the real power comes in into this suite is how all of these can be combined to rapidly build out advanced analytics pipelines. So it's not just an old-fashioned ETL pipeline. It might be a hybrid pipeline that combines on-premise data with cloud data, with Hadoop, with data warehouse operations, with machine learning. But all of these different things can be combined into a single application workflow using the Cortana Intelligence Suite products.